Hey, it's Mitzi, and welcome back to What's She On About, the podcast that shuns specificity. Yeah, I know, it needs work, but, you know, it's true. Like, case in point, last week was about arguably my favorite on-screen couple, Noni and Max from Seriously Single. Did y'all watch it? Tell me y'all watched it. And then you can see why I love them so much. Anyway, I digress. This week, my friend Audrey drops by to talk about producing and acting during this panicata. So as you can see, every week is going to be different. We actually recorded an interview last year, just before Contagion 2020 started. And then everything else happened. And so by the time we came, you know, I decided, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. It was like, yeah, it's definitely time to re-record this interview. And also so many things have changed. So that's coming up. So what have you guys been up to? Did you did you guys watch it? Please tell me you watched Seriously Single so you can see why I'm so in love with Noni and Max and why I want to be Noni when I grow up. Or at least when they give us free and I start wilding out in these streets, which is probably going to be as soon as they give us the vaccine. Which I heard is going to be that they're going to have enough for every person in the United States by the end of May. So come summer. Anyway, what have you guys been up to? Read any books? I'm super excited because new book by Farrah Heron just came out, Accidentally Engaged. That looks fantastic. And I just got Alicia Rye's new book, First Comes Like. I'm so excited. I'm going to carve out time this weekend to devour it whole. So excited. This last Sunday, I ended up reading two books by Talia Hibbert. And the first one was Wanna Bet, which was billed as a dirty British romance. And I'm like, I'm in. I mean, you had me a dirty and British, you know? Then at the end of that book, it suggested a filthy, flirty novella in the same world. And I'm like, who am I to turn down a filthy, flirty novella? So I read them both. They've been added to the What's She On About reading list. And you can check those out on Instagram or on Twitter. Now, speaking of filthy, flirty, and British, it's time for the Sim Bin. This guy has been lip syncing rent free in my head for a month. And let me tell you, this milkshake is bringing all the girls, aka grown ass women, to the TikTok yard. I'm talking about Scotty. His on screen name is I Am Scotty 7, both on Instagram and on TikTok. And oh boy, when I tell you this guy belongs in the sin bin, he is absolutely gorgeous. Tall, shaved head, tatted like up the wazoo, great smile. Did I mention the luscious ginge beard? And then he's also British, so he's got like that sexy ass accent that I love. I mean, I can't. But on top of all of that, he lip syncs to the greatest music, R&B, reggae, just classics. And you're just like, what? I mean, he literally just either sits in a chair or casually walks up to the camera. Oh, hey, are you on? Yeah, no, I know I'm shirtless and I've got my my pants lowered a little and I'm playing with the straps of said, you know, sweatpants. Like, are they gonna fall? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he does all of that and then he sits down and he lip syncs to like Otis Redding and Marvin Gaye. And you're just like, what? Back when he had his comments on, which were so fun to read, someone was like, were you raised by a black mama? And he was like, no, but this is all the music that his mom and his family likes to listen to. So it was like, gotcha. We appreciate it. And look, like I said, this guy, he's got these thirst videos down pat. Okay, I already told you shirtless, so you can see all those tattoos. I'm still hoping he's going to do a tour of those tattoos, by the way. He's got the slow smile, lip biting, looking off to the side like, yeah, a Okay. And then the kind of like bashful, I can't with him, honestly. Woo! And then he eventually did like a few videos where he's actually talking, and that's when you can hear the British accent. He's like, I'm a grown man and I'm this and that. And I'm like, oh my days, sir. Like, sometimes the videos scroll by and I'm like, I was not ready. He had a little bit of trouble with like these just ridiculous comments that he was getting on TikTok. So he actually shut off his comments on TikTok, which is such a bummer because most of the comments were very, very positive and hilarious, as women all over the world were thirsting after this guy. But you know, one bad apple definitely, definitely always has to ruin it for everybody else. Bastards. Anyway, give him a follow. You will not regret it. I am Scotty7 on TikTok. And same handle on Instagram, although you have to request to be a follower. And yeah, he accepted my request. So we are halfway to being in love right now, as far as I can tell. Okay, so before we go to that interview with Audrey, let's get a word from our sponsor. I ain't got no sponsor. But I am trying to manifest one, right? So in the meantime, I've created Podcast Pals. And Podcast Pals are family and friends with great businesses that I will promote. Here we go. Our first Podcast Pal is Midwin Charles & Associates. Midwin Charles & Associates is a New York City-based law firm where your legal needs in civil rights, family, elder care, criminal law, and litigation can all be met. A little biased. She's my sister. She's fabulous. Follow her on Instagram at Midwin. And if you need legal help, 212-520-6202. Again, that number is 212-520-6202. And you can also email info@charleslawfirm.com. Again, info@charleslawfirm.com. I'll put the information in the show notes. So joining us today to talk all things acting and producing in the times of the Rona, I've got actor, director, producer, creator, and friend Audrey Holland joining us today. Hey, Audrey.
Hi. We're going to have to add that Genevieve in there, if you please, or else.
Oh, the Audrey Genevieve Holland?
We have to do it because, you know, there's another Audrey Holland.
Is there?
This is the struggle. Yes. And she's an adult actress.
She's a porn star?
She's a porn star. And, you know, people do get confused. Like, people get.
Are you serious?
Confused. I am so serious. I honestly, someone got confused, I think, this week. I truly think that it's an ongoing. Not constantly, it's not every day, but it is an ongoing struggle. Yeah. Oh yeah.
My goodness. What are the odds? Because like your name is not, it's not an overtly adult film star name. You know, it's not like Candy or any of those names that you hear. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not Audrey with an I, which is how I had a professor in college always spell it.
Interesting.
Which is, I was like, I've never seen this before. Yeah. Never seen it since. No, and it doesn't follow the, remember that you used to play the game when you were kids of like, it was your first pet and like the street you grew up on.
Right, your porn star name, yeah.
So it doesn't really follow that because, although I did once meet a Chihuahua named Audrey. And that was a great moment because all of a sudden I just heard from behind me, don't worry, Audrey, it's going to be okay. Because the Chihuahua was having a meltdown in the dog park. I don't know if I've ever like whipped around so quickly. And I'm like, thank you for telling me that.
This woman
was cradling her Chihuahua.
And you're like, oh, that wasn't for me. And yet, oddly, it worked. It worked for
me. I'm going to still take it.
Oh my gosh. All right. So we will, let me amend that and say actor, director, producer, creator, and friend, Audrey Genevieve Holland.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
There we go. Oh my goodness. So your profession as a producer and as an actor, I mean, we are in the middle of a global panini where so many things have shut down. How has this affected you?
Well, pre-panini, we had 12 projects in development.
For your production company?
In my production company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So congrats, by the way, on said
production
company. What's it called?
Thank you. Ash Puddle Pictures.
Ash Puddle.
Mm-hmm.
Ash Puddle.
Ash Puddle is a small tweak, some creative liberties on the name Ash and Poodle. I'm saying it totally wrong, but it's German and it's the original name of Cinderella.
Oh, I did not know that.
So we've twisted around a little bit. We've made it a little bit easier to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've kind of Americanized the spelling a little bit.
Okay.
And it's Cinderella stories.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah. So tell me a little bit about how COVID has affected producing at the moment, but then we'll wind it back a little bit and talk about producing in general.
Got it. So in these times of COVID, all of the unions have gathered together and made very strict kind of rules and engagements to have people in close quarters, mm-hmm. People inside, people who can't do their job with a mask on. Because, you know, unless you're going to make a movie about being in the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
you can't be making a period piece. It's 1765 and all of a sudden everybody is in hazmat suits.
Oh, sure.
So to enforce these rules of the 6 feet and the washing the hands and the face coverings, multiple COVID tests for anybody who ends up on set. So any of your cast or crew, front of the camera, behind the camera, there are COVID coordinators. There are nurses that come to set. Sometimes, just a few weeks ago, we were forcibly quarantined in a hotel for 10 days. Well, we only made it to 7. It's a whole other story. We only made it to 7 because someone ended up getting COVID anyway. But these extra precautions to keep everybody healthy are super, super necessary and super expensive,
mm-hmm.
is the struggle. So if you are making an indie film under union rules, so mm-hmm. basically in America, it's very, very difficult to do that under a real, you know, indie contract. If you have something that's already set up with a bigger house, you can probably get an extra budget and be able to keep everything rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But the other struggle is that should someone, whether they have symptoms or not, test positive for COVID, whatever production you're on, whether it's a television show or it's a feature film, or even if it's a short, there's a mandatory shutdown for 2 weeks.
Which makes, I'm sure that's extremely difficult if you are an indie production with, you know, and you don't have a boatload of money behind you.
Right. Your contingency, your, you know, extra, you know, something went horribly wrong fund mm-hmm. may not cover a 2 week shutdown. You may not even be able to get your actors back, because it may be on a friends and family rate.
Right.
You may not be able to get your locations back because it may be on a friends and family rate, or it's someone else may have just booked it. It may have been something like that. Yeah. So it's really a struggle when you're working with a low budget or even a lower budget
mm-hmm.
to get yourself in a position where the risk is extremely low for everyone involved, as low as, you know, physically possible.
Right.
But also that you know you'll have a finished film at the end. Because if you get shut down and you can't start back up, you have half a film, maybe a quarter film, maybe one day of a film.
Right.
What are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with it? Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
Dang it.
So it's a struggle. So
yeah,
11 of the 12 projects are on pause until we can get to a place where the risk really makes sense on the human side of things, because we don't want anybody to get sick.
Of course.
And on the financial side of things, because we would want to make sure that the film finishes, that investors get their money back, that we have something at the end that we can show people.
Sure, all of that
kind of good
that
stuff.
That you have that finished product.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So it's been a interesting time to be alive.
I know.
On every level.
On every level. Well, so let me ask you this. For those that are listening that don't know what it takes to produce a film, tell us what a producer does, or what you have been doing as a producer to produce your films.
What I personally have been doing for these projects is, since it's my company and I'm there for the inception, the process really starts with finding a story that you want to spend a good chunk of your life telling. Because it's not a quick process, even under the best circumstances where someone's throwing money and people at you, there's still things you can't control.
Sure.
And the weather and all these other things. There are so many things that are out of your control that it really does take quite a long time to put together a film. And then you also want to make sure it's a good film is the other struggle, which, you know, isn't always the easiest thing to put together. So what I started with was putting out a call for stories. And I put out what I thought was a very small call, and it ended up being massive. I think I received over the end of it, maybe 500 script submissions.
Oh, wow.
And all, you know, I thought it was a very narrow window, say looking for, you know, low budget. Dark fairy tales with a strong female lead. Which I would have thought, here's 10 scripts to read. There was somewhere around 500, and I'm a masochist, so I read them all cover to cover, whereas most people, why don't you quit? Page 10, page 15, but I was really determined to figure out every detail that was kind of a trend through these 500 scripts, so these 500 submissions, and to whittle down kind of in the calls in the future, being able to say, I specifically don't want to see X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Like if your script has X, Y, and Z, please don't send it my way. Because I am still in shock that I can say that a huge majority of those 500 scripts had rape, poop, and Jesus.
The fuck?
Often all at the same time. So I don't know what that came from.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
A little concerning.
It was a lot. And it almost became like a game on the cover of some of the scripts, where you would make hashtags of how many times like your main character would poop, or how many times Jesus would like show up in person in these in these scripts. So I'm not sure what happened there, but I had to have like meetings about this, and people think that I'm joking. And I'd be like, no, here are my notes. And I pull out my notebook and I'm like, no, it's really like a thing. Like, it's a thing that I can talk about. It wasn't one or two. Exactly. It wasn't
right.
one
you
or
can
two.
You see the expression on my face. Like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah. And you know, somewhere there must be a film that I didn't see that has all three of these elements in that people love. I don't know. I just don't know what it is.
I'm concerned. I have to say, I'm
a lot.
I'm perturbed.
It was a lot. Yeah,
would be the word that I would use there. So you put out a call for scripts. You've read the scripts. You've narrowed it down to, it sounds like 12.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Once you acquire the option rights from the writer, so you enter a negotiation where you have the option to make the film. And what that means is the writer is aware that you have an interest in making it into a film, but possibly, despite all best efforts, you may not be able to.
Okay.
So usually these agreements are 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. Right now, everything's on pause because when is everything going to go back into, but normally there's a finite amount of time. And in that window, you have the, well, hopefully the drive to package the film. And packaging is attaching your actors, attaching a director, attaching locations, different kind of assets like partnerships for equipment, maybe some sponsoring if there's going to be a product in the film, or if somebody is interested in releasing the film because of something else is attached, like they're a big fan of one of the actors, or maybe they want to be in the movie themselves, things like that. That will get you at least the majority of the budget. And then you can start plotting out your real locations, your shooting dates, get the unions to bless the project, and you can start the wheels really, really turning from there. Then you, of course, go back to your writer and you say, yep, we're gonna make the film. And you have a real agreement then with some real payments involved.
Got you. So, when you option some of these stories at the beginning, are those on loan for a while, or do you actually pay for that initial option?
You pay for the option. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably closest to leasing a car.
Oh, okay.
It's probably the closest metaphor.
Sure.
So you are paying. And you're driving around the car, but until you pay off the car, it's not quite yours.
Got it. Okay.
And depending on who you're leasing this car from, there will be rules. You know, like when you lease a car, you know, you can only put so many miles on it.
Yes, per year. There's kind of those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So some writers, depending on kind of where they are in their career and how badly possibly they've been burned before, I will have mileage clauses in their contract, and will have things even upfront about how, should the film move forward, this is how they want everything to go.
Okay. Got it.
So I think that's the closest
metaphor.
Yeah,
no, I think that makes perfect sense. Okay. Got it. And then, so, you know, obviously you've now packaged the film, you've got your actors, you've got everything. It's been blessed by the union, so on and so forth. What is your role as a producer once all of that has happened?
As far as me personally, a line producer would come in and they'd build a real schedule and a real day-to-day budget of what can be afforded. I am not as type A as I would like to be to manage those spreadsheets with a real belief that I won't miss huge chunks. It's like scheduling people lunch. I just know that I would be the type of person that shows up and I'm like, oh, it's what time is lunch? And that's just not a line I put in the spreadsheet. So I like to have other people come in.
Well, you know what?
And double check.
People who are experts at these things, you know, people whose jobs are to be line producers. This is why we have a line producer, because they think of these things, right?
And they love doing that. They love managing the minutiae.
Right.
And making sure that every little detail is going to run as smooth as possible.
Sure.
And every minute. And I am not the most tolerant of the details in every situation. It's just not my personality. And it's taken me a minute to really accept that it's not in my personality and to just, let's bring in someone else where it is in their personality, you know,
I think
that's probably more than half the battle of running a project and even of producing anything, whether it's a feature or it's a short film, anything, is really assembling an amazing team that you believe in and you trust to manage either their department or their tasks or whatever it is that you've kind of hand to them to do, because it's impossible to do it all yourself.
Right. There's right, just, right.
It's physically impossible, and you wouldn't want to, because you'd just be angry all day. Sure. We all know those people.
Yeah.
You're like, maybe delegate some of this.
Yeah. Just no, I totally get that.
Smidgen.
Totally get that.
Like, back to the car. Sure, if I watch 8,000 hours of YouTube videos, I could probably take apart a car engine. Why would I want to do that, though?
Especially when there's somebody who knows how to do it and can do it with their eyes closed and loves to do it.
And loves not to me. Do it.
Let me give it to you me. To do.
Yes. And then I know with certainty that the engine isn't going to fall out of the bottom of the car. So I think it's kind of like that. It's, you know, you get yourself a brilliant line producer, because then you know that lunch is going to be there every single day.
Right.
And you get yourself just brilliant coordinators, because then you know that the actors are going to be told to get on set and they're going to be on time every single day. You just have to, you hire the right mechanics just for every job. And you say, all right, I'm going to drop off the car. I'll be back in a couple of hours. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's
going to be great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
So you're also an actress. And I noticed that LA has kind of like reopened a bit and has started with productions. I shouldn't say just start. I feel like it's been a couple of months now that productions have gone back into production. Use the same word twice. but these films and TV shows have gone back into production. How has it been on set for you?
Oh, it's been just a weird time to be alive. It's been a very interesting, I am very familiar now with the inside of my nose because it gets swabbed that much.
Oh my God.
I know exactly
where. With the COVID test.
Yeah, I know all the pinpoints that are super sensitive. Just, you know, like, don't go to the left. If you go to the left, my eyes will start to water. Just go to the right.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's just, it's that frequent.
You have to take so many.
Mm-hmm. Well, for every single day that I get to go to work, I am tested three times for COVID, a minimum, really, for three times for COVID. And the tests vary. So far, I've had the gentle nose swab where it goes like halfway up your nose.
Yes.
And I've had
that's the one that I've had.
Yeah, that's like a joy compared to the aggressive nose swab that goes as further back in your face than I knew I had face, basically. I'm like watching the Q-tip disappear.
You're like, it's gonna keep going.
I didn't know that I had that much nose. Keep swapping around there. All the nurses, I wish they would just warn how deep they're about to go. And yeah, so he just went in there.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. So you're taking a bunch of COVID tests. Do they also have you guys quarantined together, or do you like leave and come back? Is that why you take so many tests? Or
so it's up to the discretion, it seems, for the production. But I guess my most harrowing story is that I was called once in the morning, it's probably about 10 a.m., and asked if I would check into a hotel by 3 p.m. if I wanted to quarantine for 9 days and work on the 10th day. And of course I said yes, because I'm so excited to work normally.
Right.
When there is work, and production in Los Angeles, I believe, is running at 20% as it was pre everything. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting now when the phone rings. It's usually exciting, and now it's like incredibly exciting. Oh, someone's ringing my phone. Because if it was a text message, I probably know them. So if it's a phone call, it's a big deal.
It could be a job.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think the hotel was probably about an hour and a half away.
Oh boy.
So we didn't go far at all. We're still in the Los Angeles jurisdiction. And kind of said, yeah, welcome. Here's a packet of all of the local vegan restaurants, and here's a packet with mental health resources. And that's when you just start to double think what you just agreed to. That's what, and I was like, okay, so I'm going to snap in the hotel room. That's what this means. Like, the isolation will get so serious.
Oh my gosh.
Because you're not allowed to have anyone with you. You're not allowed to have any pets with you. You have, or in my case, I timed it. I had 6 minutes from my room to the nurse's room to get tested every day. So it was 12 minutes of sunshine a day.
And otherwise you had to stay in your room.
You had to stay in your room. So there was no going to the front desk for towels. There was no letting in housekeeping. There's no meeting your postmates, you know, by the front of the hotel, anything like that. Sure. It was complete isolation. I'm shouting at people through the door, through the window.
Right, like, leave it there. Leave it on the doorstep.
Leave it on the doorstep. Exactly. Yeah. I'll Venmo you a tip. Thank you. Thank you for making the walk all the way to my room.
Oh, like, wow.
People were just troopers, absolute troopers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because everybody, like, you know, just like you were excited to get the call, everybody's excited to be back working. And so let's do everything that we can to have a safe set so that we can actually, like, work.
Absolutely. And my thing is, I'm super aware. I think maybe more so because we're in Los Angeles and we're watching a city that's based really on a singular industry, and that all the support industries kind of around it mm-hmm. are suffering, you mm-hmm. know, that we can't work.
Right.
So it becomes this really terrible domino effect because, you know, if we don't get to go to work, we're not hiring the dog walker. We're not hiring the babysitters. We're not making dry cleaning. We're not hiring catering, mm-hmm. the drivers. But hopefully, as people are getting vaccinated, we're going to be able to adjust and really open up mm-hmm. and open up safely and get everybody back to work. As nice as it would be, I think, to get the government support to stay home, even if that support was, you know, $10,000 an hour, at a certain point, like, I'd really like to go outside.
Right.
Like, I'd really like to, you know,
that's true.
Eventually
only so much
it tips over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, getting locked in that hotel room, as introverted as I am, it really starts to get to you.
Mm. Which is why they gave you that mental health pack.
Yeah.
Because they knew that you weren't going to see anyone for like 9 days. So, so after the 9 days, the 10th day you guys started shooting?
We didn't make it.
Oh, no.
We actually didn't make it on day 7. Someone tested positive.
Damn.
And we were all told, I mean, we had 3 hours to get out of the hotel.
Wow. Just like that.
Ugh. And in our case, there were a lot of people who were breaking the rules.
Well, yeah, you screwed that up for everybody. Thanks. Thanks so much.
That's the thing. So I think much. That's the thread through all of this is just think about everybody else that you're going to affect with what may seem to you as a very innocent action.
Right. But have you gone to successful productions where they had you take the test or take multiple tests and then maybe not quarantine with everyone, but you were still able to go on set,
work.
Act, and work?
I think a good majority of the projects who can test multiple times are catching the people before you get to set, so they don't have to shut down.
Oh, good. Okay, gotcha.
So they're able to do, you know, you're going to come in Monday to get tested, Tuesday to get tested, Wednesday you'll get tested before you're allowed to set.
Got it.
And the theory is, of course, that you'll catch it somewhere in that window where you're getting tested. And then you get fitted with basically a whole hazmat suit.
Oh.
That you have to take. You'll have your N95.
Mm-hmm.
and some kind of face shield or goggles.
Okay.
And some sets will have like a dressing gown to kind of give you that extra buffer. That's mm-hmm. not as popular. The most popular thing is here's your surgical grade mask, basically, and a face shield to keep you away.
And then, so what happens when it's like, okay, we're about to roll camera. Do they just, here's where you put this, take this off, let's do this acting, yeah. and then throw it back on quickly.
Basically. There's someone whose only job is to scream mask on, mask off. that's their whole thing. Wow. And then they go around and they, you know, because there's always going to be at least one person who just either isn't paying attention or they think it's a joke.
Right.
And they won't put the mask back on or the face shield back on, or they won't take it off.
Oh.
Because there's always that too. Wow. Where someone will get really distracted and they won't hear
that it's time
to go to work.
Right.
And for a little while, it was very popular. You would take your mask off and someone would come up to you with a little Dixie cup. Mm-hmm. Of Listerine, and would watch you swish it, I think for 20 seconds. They would count to 20 and then spit it out in the little cup. You were not allowed to touch this little cup, and spit it out, and then you were ready to work, because I guess it's the alcohol in Listerine is said to kill the corona, but only for 30 minutes or so. So they would have you swish and swish and swish. I was so minty. like the whole room is so minty.
Oh my gosh.
The oddest and yet most pleasant part of it.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. And well, but that also means your co-stars and everybody else that's working with you doesn't have bad breath.
Oh, exactly.
Right? Like everybody's minty fresh.
So fresh.
And like I can stand at least being next to you where I don't have mm-hmm. to smell you.
Or what you had for lunch.
Exactly. Or that coffee breath or any of those things.
Nope. It's burned right out of your system because it's every take.
So every take.
Every three or four minutes.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, I see what you're saying now, though, about the extra costs that this is costing, because, oh my gosh, I can't even speak today. The production and going into production, all of these extra costs that are costing.
Ugh, well, that's accurate though.
Yeah, no, but all of these extra fees that are now being accrued because you need to have someone whose job is, or maybe several people whose job is to come around here with the Listerine and to tell you to take the mask on and off, the nurses to take all the tests, someone to process all of the tests. And all the rest of
The processing of the tests, somewhere where you can rent out a space to set up the tent to get everybody tested.
Right, to get everyone tested and everything. Oh my goodness.
There's someone in an office coordinating all of these different moving parts. There's someone who's on set when you check in to take your temperature. Mm-hmm. Which, funny story, I don't register on those temperature guns.
Oh my God. Is this the part where you tell us that you're actually really dead?
That's it. Like, it's been like a running joke for quite a long time because I am such a pale person.
Wow.
The joke when I went to film school was that they would use me to white balance the cameras.
Oh my God.
and now... Now I show up and these poor people, sometimes it's so early in the morning too. It could be 4 o'clock in the morning. It's the first thing that they have to do. And I walk up and I'm like, hi, good morning. How are you? What's going on? They're like, oh, temperature check. And they hold up the gun, they click it. And it's like, oh, I thought I just changed these batteries. And they start hitting the gun.
Right. And you're like, no, it's not you. It's me.
No, it's not. It's me. I just run that cold. I'm just walking around like this.
You have the whole routine down packed. It's not
you. Oh, yeah.
It's not your gun. It's me. You need to take the temperature this way. And we can just move this right along.
Yep. So I have to cheat. I show up in extra layers. Because I found if I can wear enough on my arm, because you know they'll take it on your wrist as well, mm-hmm. my wrist will register. It is me. If it wasn't a pandemic, you would say, touch my fingers and you'll feel how icy I really am.
But it's not something you can do in a panna cotta.
No, they don't want to touch you.
No, they don't. No,
right? Mm-hmm. They don't know where any of us have been.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting to get that insight as to how some of these productions are trying to keep people safe, but also, actually move forward with these productions so that we can get these TV shows and we can get these movies so that, the world continues, people continue to work, and we continue to get more entertainment to consume because, we're all in confinement. We're all at
stuck
home.
In the house.
Yeah. Stuck in the house.
Well, and it's a crazy thing to think about too, because it's the entertainment industry. It really is the third largest industry in the whole world. Mm. So if we continue to choke it, or we, for a little while there, we completely halted it, it affects even more than we ever really think about. Right. And I think there's always kind of this impression that it's just Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's just it really isn't. Is not.
No, of course not. Of course not.
It isn't. Because it's also every single project that filmed in Atlanta, in New York, in New Mexico, Canada,
is based around the world, frankly.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I'm sure in other countries, though, that took this a little bit more seriously at the beginning, things might be a little bit easier. Like, I'm thinking
New Zealand.
Probably yes, they're a doing little great. Bit better in New Zealand. Great. They're fine.
Fantastic.
They're fine over there,
Oh, so, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for taking the time to
Thank
come talk to us about this. Now, let's make sure that everyone can find you and follow along so that we can see your adventures in acting, as well as what Ashputtel ends up putting out once we are done with this Pantera.
Hopefully
Where
soon.
Where can we find you? Socials.
I am on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I think you just signed me up to Clubhouse.
Oh, yes.
there.
What's your handle on Instagram? Actually, you know what? Even better, guys, I will put it in the show notes. Oh, where perfect. You can find Audrey Genevieve Holland. Let's make sure we remember that.
Not the other one.
Genevieve. Yeah, exactly. But in the show notes, I will put all of your social handles for both yourself and for Ashputtel, because I think Ashputtel has an account as well, right? On Instagram?
It does. She does.
She does.
She does.
All right, guys. So take a look at the show notes so that you can see where you can follow Audrey's adventures in acting during COVID, as well as all of her production projects.
Yeah.
We actually recorded an interview last year before the Ponderosa hit. And then we were all stuck in the house and it was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So we literally had to re-record this because,
that was one of the last times I went outside.
Right. Exactly. That was before.
Like really outside. Yeah.
That was before. Yeah. And now we're in the after.
Or are we in the during?
Oh yes. I guess we are in the during. We're not quite in the after yet.
Can't wait to be in the after.
Okay.
Do we know when where's the line where we can be in the after
and
this will be just a period of time we no longer speak about?
Seriously. Or we at least just reminisce about, oh my God, remember when we were stuck in a house?
Like, that was so weird. I can't believe that was real life.
Exactly.
It's so nice having toilet paper on the shelf again.
You can find yeast and paper towels and Lysol is back. Oh my goodness.
The little things.
It's the little things.
Like, wow, I'm sitting inside of a restaurant.
What?
Not in the parking lot.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
I look forward to it so much.
I know, right? We all do. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Anytime. I'm in the house anytime you want to call.
I know, right? Exactly. We all are. Oh my gosh. Okay, so that was cool, right? Learn a little bit about producing indie films and acting during a pantaloon. Thank you so much, Audrey, for joining us. You know, that Listerine thing, I didn't hear about it. I feel like the Listerine thing might have been one of the many myths that abound about COVID-19, because it didn't sound like they were still doing the Listerine thing when she went on set. Crazy, though. Crazy. And imagine having the same name as a super popular porn star or adult film actress, if you will. I wish you guys could have heard the first interview that we did, because we actually talked about the fact that sometimes she'll actually get like calls and birthday presents for this other Audrey Holland because their birthdays are actually also close together. Wild. Just crazy. Anyway, can you guys believe that we have almost been in this whole confinement for a year? I was just looking at my journal the other day, and on March 16th is when it really hit home for me. Like, that was when I think on the same day the NBA decided to stop their season, and then other major sports also stopped their season. I think Tom Hanks and his wife Rita announced that they had gotten COVID. Then they were shutting down schools and work and airlines and the train in New York. Yo, they never shut down the train in New York. And that's when I was like, oh my God, this is real, y'all. Whew. And now it's been almost a year. Just crazy. 500,000 souls lost here in the United States because of the sheer incompetence of that orange fool. 2.5 million souls lost worldwide. Ugh, that vaccine can't come soon enough. It really, really can't. Because let me tell you, I will be going buck in these streets. Hey, I'm gonna put the roaring 20s to shame. Do you understand me? If hopefully, God willing, si je veux, make it through and get that vaccine, I'm gonna go buck. I'm telling you. I what do you guys plan on doing? Yeah, when they give us free, I want to hear what you guys plan on doing. Send me an email, thewsoashow@gmail.com. okay, I want to hear it. Okay, so let's see. All right, yeah, we are up to ain't that some shit. This past Black History Month, yo, we had not one, not two, not even three, but four white teachers losing their damn minds as they teach our young ones. Like, some people are just not cut out to be teachers. Mind you, these are only the stories that, like, I actually read about. It is frightening to think about what is going on in schools, virtual or otherwise, when we're not looking. So, in Delaware, this yoga teacher decided that she was going to have her kindergarten students doing slavery yoga. Yeah, you heard that right. Slavery yoga. All right, I'm going to read y'all this from The Root, which took it from Delaware Online. The pre-recorded hybrid lesson was taught at McIlvaine Early Childhood Center. A short clip shared by a parent on Facebook shows part of the 35-minute class where a teacher combines yoga poses with her version of how Africans were enslaved and brought to America. African people came to America on boats to become slaves, the teacher says in the video. Now, I gotta stop right there. What the fuck? Are you serious? Africans came to America on boats to become slaves? Nah. They were stolen. They were taken and forcibly removed from their homes. I mean, right there, you're just like, I would have fucking turned the lesson off. Okay, so then she continues. So here's the great big country of Africa. Okay, pause again. In the year of our Lord 2021, we still got people out here talking about Africa is a country? A country? It's a fucking continent made up of 54 countries. And you're talking about Africa as a country? Seriously? Seriously. Y'all are on Robin Fenty's interwebs out here lying, talking about Africa is a country. Just, they crossed the Atlantic to come over to America. So right now I need you to get into your boat pose, she says, demonstrating the yoga pose. Came, we were stolen, the mother recording the video is heard saying. Yeah. The video goes on to describe the lives of enslaved people in America. Africans were treated very poorly, even though they farmed the land and plowed the fields to make America beautiful and help grow our food, the teacher continues. They worked in the fields all day. If you're at home, you can try the plow pose. Like, seriously, bitch? She's not even the worst. She's not. Because you got the Florida teacher saying that, no, slaves weren't whipped, and the N-word is not really racist. I mean, he really tried it, didn't he? I don't understand why people keep trying it with that word. Like, you can't say nigga. Why? Because of all the centuries of history behind that word. So there's one word that you can't say. I mean, mind you, he said the N-word is not really racist. Go on, say it then. If it's not, then just go ahead and say it. The N-word. You can't even say it, even as you are trying to sit there and say that the word ain't fucking racist. Trifling. Mind you, why do you even want to say it? Is it because you can't? Is that what it is? Because, ugh, God forbid, you can't do something? Oh, you're telling me what to do? Make me fucking sick. Then there's an Oklahoma teacher mad at a 6-7-year-old for wearing a black King shirt that suggested that there should be a white history month. Bitch, what? A white history month? As though that's not every fucking month of the year. And then you deign to give us marginalized groups performative months as scraps. The fuck you mean? Like, I just, are you freaking kidding me? Or the Georgia teacher who fixed her thin, crusty lips to say that it was Breonna Taylor's fault that she died because she hangs out with criminals, had all her facts wrong, and was strong and wrong about it, and in fact, doubled down on it until it was like, bitch, no, you're wrong, get your facts straight. And then, oh, I didn't know what I was talking about and I shouldn't have talked about it. Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't have. And you should know better. And also, this woman was killed in her home by fucking Keystone cops that had the person they were looking for in custody. They were at the wrong fucking house. They broke in without even announcing themselves. And when her boyfriend tried to defend her, which you are allowed to fucking do, they sprayed that house up and killed her. A paramedic who was on the front lines during this whole COVID business. The willful and hateful ignorance is exhausting. Do you understand me? It's exhausting. And like I said, this is just what was captured. Like, think about what wasn't. It's just total fuckery, and I'm tired of it. Y'all need to do better, okay? Do better. Like, there's no excuse for this except for your willful, hateful ignorance. You shouldn't be in the classroom then. Stop teaching our babies this garbage. Thankfully, everybody was like, yeah, no. And you could hear people like correcting some of these teachers. And, you know, I'm glad they're putting them on blast because you should not be in a fucking classroom. You really, really shouldn't. Just total fuckery. Should I rename this segment to fuckery? Because that's what it is. Like, every episode is just more fuckery. And, you know, it is my favorite versatile word. Fuck can be an adjective, noun, verb. You can do it all with that one. Love it. Anyway. All right, look, let's wrap up with my happy, happy place, which now has a soundtrack thanks to the mashups I found. That's what's making me happy this week. These mashups. Okay, these mashups specifically are, they're taking the lyrics from one song and the music for another and putting them together. Not like what my beloved Bastille does, where they do like true mashups and they'll take like 3 or 4 songs that have like the same name sort of in them and we'll put it together into one gorgeous, gorgeous song. They're fantastic. If you have a chance, go and look them up. But these mashups, this one in particular, I came across on the Instagram of Disturbed. I love them. I saw them in concert recently. Last year? No, not last year. Last year was like Contagion 2020. We couldn't do nothing in this pantaloon. No, I think I saw them actually in 2019. And I was a little apprehensive, you know, thick little black girl rolling up into a concert with a band like Disturbed. It was great. Everybody near me, around me, going through was awesome. Singing along was fantastic. Anyway, I digress. They posted this video on their Instagram. And of course, you know, as always, they had me at the very beginning of the ooh-wah! And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? Because, okay, just listen to it. Ooh-wah! Shape of You, Ed Sheeran, with Down With The Sickness. Oh my God. Do you not love it? Or do you love it? Like, how do they even listen to these two songs and think, yeah, yeah, no, they belong together. They absolutely belong together. I don't know how they do it. Okay, check this one out. Favorite. Okay. I love Evanescence. They're another one that I saw in concert. Love them. Bring Me to Life with Sia's Cheap Thrills. So good. They actually use Cheap Thrills for another one with 3 Days Grace. I Hate Everything About You, which, love that song. I was literally just listening to it on my Hate and Rage playlist. Like, look, I need an outlet sometimes. And that Hate and Rage playlist is great. I love them, and they just make me happy. Cannot wait for concerts to come back. Oh, I used to spend all my money on going to concerts, flying to concerts, driving like 2-3 hours to go to concerts, and I cannot wait until they give us free. Go check out these mashups on YouTube. Is this guy One Board J-E-U? I don't even know how to pronounce that. Is that One Board Jew? I don't know. Anyway, One Board, J-E-U, all one word. Go check them out. There's so many more to discover. So many more great combos. I think I grabbed one that was Linkin Park and Adele. Oh, so good. So good, because you know I love me some Adele. Anyway, I would love to hear from you about this episode, what you guys are doing, what you're reading, whatever. Like I said, my email address is thewsoashow@gmail.com. You can quote us on Twitter at @thewsoashow_. I'm still coming for you, Twitter, about my original account. Bastards. Instagram is @thewsoashow. Hey, give us a follow. That would be awesome. Feel free to rate, review, and subscribe. We're on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher. We are everywhere. Thanks again to our guest, Audrey Genevieve Holland, not the adult film actress, but the producer, actor, creator, director, actually. I was actually in one of her indie projects as a voice. It was a stop motion animation. That was fun. Yeah. And until next time, goodbye for now.